Hey there, budgeteers. Are you ready to unlock the power of each payday and take control of your finances like a boss? Introducing the Payday Power Planner from New Money Habits. This isn't your average budgeting tool. Oh no. With the Payday Power Planner, you'll harness the unique rhythm of your paychecks to supercharge your financial game. Say goodbye to the confusion of monthly budgets and hello to the clarity of every payday. You'll know exactly when money is coming in and when it's going out, giving you the edge you need to stay on top of your finances. But that's not all. With the Payday Power Planner, you'll easily spot whether you're rocking a surplus or facing a deficit. Armed with this knowledge, you'll make informed decisions that set you up for financial success. It's time to transform your relationship with money and create the new money habits you need to achieve financial freedom. Get your hands on the Payday Power Planner from New Money Habits today and start making every dollar count. Don't let financial stress hold you back. Create a better plan for your money and seize the power of your pay period and thrive with the Payday Power Planner. Visit newmoneyhabits.com now to grab your free copy and unleash your financial potential. On this episode of the New Money Habits podcast, we're going to answer the age-old question, should married couples combine their finances? What's up, budgeteers, and welcome to the New Money Habits podcast. I'm your host and one of the co-founders of New Money Habits, Coach Nino Villa. And today on the New Money Habits podcast, we're going to look at marriage and money from a new perspective, address the reality that marriage and money ain't easy, and share a couple of real-life stories to help you get her done. If you have questions, be sure to hit us up on social at New Money Habits and follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen to your podcasts. If you want to help out the show, consider leaving a 5-star rating and review. We cannot thank you enough for leaving those 5-star ratings and reviews. They truly help us to spread this message of hope to people looking for a better plan for their money. Now let's get into today's episode. Today I would like to speak to your conscience rather than your intellect. If you're married or you're thinking about getting married, I want you to ponder the question, why did you get married? Or why do you want to get married? Now most people would say that they want to get married for love. But I want to ask you, have you truly defined what love is? What do you mean? See, in Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, in the 13th chapter, verses 4 through 7, he defines love pretty explicitly. It says this, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. And it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Now, I want you to really take a moment to hear those words. And actually, I have a fun exercise for you. This is an exercise that I came across some time ago and I did it myself. And instead of using the term love, insert your name each time you hear the word love. Or in this case, I'll use the pronoun I and follow along. So instead of love is patient and kind, the exercise would be enter your name. So for me, it was Nino is patient and kind. But I want you to say, I am patient and kind. I am not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. I do not demand my own way. I'm not irritable. And I keep no record of being wronged. I don't rejoice about injustice, but I rejoice whenever truth wins out. I never give up. I never lose faith. I am always hopeful and I endure through every circumstance. That's the definition of love. And when you break it down, it's incredibly beautiful. I mean, think about it. Love is patient and kind. It's not jealous, boastful, or rude. These are just incredible attributes, and they're tangible. They're things you can measure. So often, I think in our culture, we use the word love, and I often question, by what measure are you in love with somebody, or do you love something? And so this just makes it more tangible, more real. I want to also share another Bible verse that helps us to understand this new perspective. Like, let's look at marriage and managing money together through a different perspective. In the very first book of the Bible, Genesis, in the second chapter, verses 18 through 24, it says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him.' So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all of the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would call them, and the man chose a name for each one. He gave names to all of the livestock, all of the birds of the sky, and all of the wild animals. But still, there was no helper just right for him. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. 'At last,' the man exclaimed, 'this one is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man.' This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one." And it's that last verse, verse 24, that I want to repeat and have you really meditate on. Let's break it down a little bit. This, everything that came before the word this, about it not being good for man to be alone, not having a proper helper, finally getting a proper helper, and being exceedingly glad. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife. Okay, so there's some relationship stuff there about how we as humans should be breaking off from one generation to form a new generation. Of course, you're going to continue to honor your mother and father, have close relationships. But when it was time for Nino and Christina to get married, it was time for Nino to break away from his parents and Christina to break away from hers and form our own family. And so this is why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. So if the two are one, let them be one in every aspect of their life, including their finances. So I would suggest that the age-old question, should a married couple combine their finances? Yes, because the two are one. And instead of thinking of it as your money and my money, think of it as our money. It's our income, our expenses, our debt, our savings, our retirement. They are our goals. You get the picture. And look, marriage is supposed to be forever. In the Gospel of Mark, the 10th chapter, verses 8 and 9, it says, "Since they are no longer two but one," and in this moment, and Jesus is speaking about the very scripture I just shared a moment ago in Genesis. And so Jesus is saying, "Since they are no longer two but one, let no one split apart what God has joined together." Now that we're starting to gain a new perspective on marriage and managing money together, the two are one, and so we're going to do life together as one, I want to address the elephant in the room. No one ever said life is going to be easy, and that includes our marriage. In fact, marriage and managing money together takes work. I call it the four C's of managing money as one. The first C is commitment. It's going to take a commitment on both sides to manage money together. Just like your marriage is a commitment to one another, managing money together takes a commitment to the process, to the idea, to not allowing anything to get in the way of managing that money together. So both sides have to commit to the idea, the concept of, yep, the two are one, we're going to manage our money together, and so we're committed to this process. The second C is communication. Just as a healthy marriage requires good communication, so does managing money together. The first thing you guys should communicate is, what are your financial goals? What would you like to achieve with money? And then you need to start being transparent about income, debts, expenses, and really talking through, what is our household income? What are our household obligations? What debt do we have? How fast would we like to eliminate that debt? And that sort of thing. The third C is collaboration. You guys are going to work better together than you can independently. Two heads are better than one. And as you collaborate with one another, you're going to solve problems more easily. You're going to articulate goals more fully. And you're going to really encourage one another to dream big. The fourth C is compromise. As you are communicating and collaborating, you're going to find moments of compromise. One of you may have a tendency to want to save while the other has a tendency to want to spend. And so you're going to have to compromise and find a way to achieve common goals that you set together for things like, this is how much money I would like to have saved in a peace of mind fund, and I want to make sure that we can travel, you know, once a year. So you're going to find areas that you need to compromise. But the results of these four C's, commitment, communication, collaboration, and compromise, are incredible. So the first benefit is transparency. By communicating and being open and honest with one another, you're going to have a level of transparency between each other that you might not have with anybody else. And that's a good thing. It's part of marriage, is that transparency. That transparency leads to intimacy, knowing one another better than anybody else. In fact, so well that, oh, wait, what? The two became one, right? And so husband, wife come together as one in a very intimate and transparent relationship. Another great benefit to managing money together is going to be accountability. You have a built-in accountability partner, somebody to help you stay on track, refocus you on the shared goals that you have when you start to lose sight of those things. And so the accountability is built in, and it's great. Another great benefit is going to be responsibility. So as you're talking and you're collaborating, you compromise, then as you go to execute the plans that you have for money, it's going to build up a discipline of responsibility, making sure that bills are paid on time or early, that savings is happening the way you want it to, so that you can achieve short and long-term financial goals. It's great. Another great benefit is going to be unity. The two became one. And now as you guys communicate, collaborate, and compromise, you're going to find that you get closer and closer and closer to being unified, completely unified in your desires to manage money in a similar way, to achieve like-minded goals. And you're going to be unified and find great unity between the two of you as you manage money together. And of course, trust. Trust is a big one. So by opening up and being transparent and being accountable to one another, trust is kind of built in, and it leaves no room for things like financial infidelity. With the transparency and the accountability to one another, it's unlikely that one of you would hide a financial vice or some other bad financial habit, with the level of transparency and accountability being shared, those things would just come to light. And so while it might not be easy at first to manage money together, with commitment, communication, collaboration, and compromise, you really can get on the same page, working together. And so you can reap tremendous benefits, not just financially, but throughout your marriage. Hey there, budgeteers. Are you tired of feeling like your finances are running the show? Well, it's time to flip the script and take charge of your money with New Money Habits Financial Coaching. This isn't your typical financial advice. New Money Habits is about empowering you with the knowledge and tools you need to make savvy money moves and build a solid financial foundation. Here's the deal. We're offering a free discovery session to kickstart your journey to financial freedom. Yep, you heard me right. Free. In this session, one of our experienced coaches will help you to pinpoint your financial goals and create a better plan for your money. We're talking about mastering your money mindset, picking up practical money management skills, and having someone to hold you accountable along the way. So, if you're ready to kiss financial stress goodbye and say hello to a brighter financial future, then schedule your free session today to create the new money habits you need to achieve financial freedom. Okay, so that may all sound great theoretically, but you might be asking yourself, okay, so what does that actually look like? How did the two become one? What do those conversations look like? How do we get on the same page? I want to share a couple of stories to help illustrate the point. The first one is for a single income household. So my wife and I, when we got married, made the conscious decision that I would be the one working and she'd be the one staying at home, taking care of the house and the children. But that wasn't the case when we first met. When we first met, we moved in together and we were sharing all of the expenses as we both worked outside of the home. And during that time, I was trying to find different ways to make the income difference and the expenses, quote, fair. Since we weren't married yet, it was still her money and my money. It wasn't our money. But we had some expenses that we shared, like rent. And so we found different ways to manage that in different seasons. But by the time we got married, all of that, this is my money and that is your money, went right out the window. This is our money. This is our income. This is our household income. And these are our expenses. And after the income comes in and the expenses go out, here's what we have left. And part of the expenses or what we built into our payday power plan is money for each of us to spend, almost like an allowance. So we both have spending money. The bills are getting paid. We're saving. We're investing. We're paying off debt. We're doing all the things that we want to make sure we accomplish. So it was all pretty simple. It meant having a single checking account that my income got direct deposited into and that our expenses got paid from. And both my wife and I are on that joint account. It meant managing her student loan debt and my student loan debt as our student loan debt. We owe X number of dollars in student loans. And it even includes funding both of our retirement accounts. What I wanted to avoid was the idea that this is my money. I never wanted my wife to feel like, well, that's your money and that's what you earn and I just get this little allowance or whatever the case may be. It was really important to me that she understand that I take the biblical doctrine of the two become one very seriously. We are one entity. My money is your money. It is our money. This is what our money is doing. We're talking about our goals, what would we like to accomplish, getting on the same page, communicating and compromising where we need to in order to achieve the goals that we have. Now, for some, that may be easier than a two-income household, or maybe for some, a two-income household is easier, but the application there is I would still recommend a joint account, and now both incomes are going into one account. So the income, the household income, is coming into the household checking account, and then the household expenses are getting paid from that household checking account. And you can have separate accounts for other things. My wife and I split money up for our spending. So she gets her spending money every payday. I get my spending money every payday. And whether we take that in cash or we want to have it in the bank so that we can use a debit card or a credit card and then have the money to pay the credit card, there's different ways you can manage the aspects that are going to be separate, but only certain aspects should be separate. The concept of the finances should be done together. But her spending money is her spending money that she gets to spend freely, guilt-free, and without having to ask permission or have to collaborate on, is this a savings goal for both of us, et cetera, et cetera. And so at the higher level, everything is together. Down in the weeds, there might be a category here or there that is separated out. Like, I have money for when I go to the barber shop, and that's over here. And she has money for when she goes to the salon, and that's over here. But that's only when we get down deep into the different line items of the budget. That is not how the top of the funnel works. Everything comes into the same account. Everything's coming out of that same account. It's our money. And so again, with a two-income household, this may be more difficult. Maybe you're used to, well, this is my checking account and that's her checking account. And so I pay these bills and she pays those bills. And every single time I sit down with a couple who is doing it that way, my first recommendation is we have to start thinking about managing money differently. We need to create new money habits, and we should be looking at, this is our money, our account, our expenses, our debt. What are our goals so that we can build a plan to achieve them? And so I would encourage you to get a joint checking account, have income directly deposited into it, have the expenses paid from it, and then in the budget, talk about different savings goals. I work with a couple who both have kind of a side hustle, kind of a hobby, kind of things that they like to do outside of their normal 9-to-5 job that could lead to more money. But it takes money to kind of fund those things, and then maybe it generates some more money. And so that couple has separate accounts so that he can do his performing arts thing and she can do her creative arts thing. And so there is a separate account for those things, but everything at the top of the funnel comes in together, one account. All the expenses are paid from that account. And then the money that's used for those extra things comes from that account and gets delineated accordingly. And so there you have it. The age-old question, should married couples combine their finances? I believe that the answer is a resounding yes. I think that when we live life by biblical principles, we live it more abundantly, more fully. And so our marriage can prosper when we understand the concept of the two become one, and we live by that principle in every aspect of our lives, including our finances. That does it for this episode of the New Money Habits Podcast. Remember, if you have any questions, make sure to hit us up on social at New Money Habits and follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Please consider leaving a 5-star rating and review to help us spread this message of hope to people looking for a better plan for their money.